is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the Resistance. We are the InfoWar.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakar Jackson. It's October 1st, 2014, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, Patient Zero and the Pentagon's Ebola vaccine. Will the arrival of Ebola in America result in mass vaccinations? Plus, as the first American case of Ebola arrives in Dallas, concerns over wide-open U.S. borders are validated. All that, plus much more, up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
In case you haven't heard, there is an international news story about a patient coming from Liberia carrying Ebola. This patient is now in Dallas, Texas. What started is this past month, a gentleman boarded a plane from Liberia, and we did some checking. We couldn't find any direct flights from Liberia to Dallas, Texas, which leads us to believe this gentleman stopped at least one place. He may not have gotten off a plane, but he at least stopped someplace and encountered some fresh passengers. But the CDC is telling us that the gentleman cannot possibly transmit the virus if he is feeling well, which he was at the time. So the story goes, the man came here. He interacted with some friends and family, some school children, which my understanding is these children have now returned to their school systems. The gentleman goes to the doctor a couple days after falling ill. They give him antibiotics and send him on his way, even though Governor Rick Perry of Texas is telling us that the hospitals here in Texas are well-versed in dealing with Ebola. And I understand Ebola isn't something they deal with every day, but they have an infected person come in from Liberia and send him on his way. But they say that the gentleman reported, volunteered the information that he was from Liberia, but nobody thought it was a big deal at the time. The man goes back home. Maybe he goes to a restaurant. Maybe he goes to the grocery store, to the pharmacy to get some additional medication. Who knows? And then he becomes more ill, goes back to the hospital. Then it's announced that he does, in fact, have Ebola. So what's next? Well, we have a theory or two. Patient Zero in the Pentagon's Ebola vaccine. Last week, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel told the Global Health Security Agenda Summit that the Pentagon had a longstanding research program on infectious disease, including Ebola. Hagel said the Defense Department will now begin clinical trials for a vaccine candidate. And just in case you're wondering about the price tag, it is $140 million with Techmira Pharmaceuticals, a Canadian company. The Pentagon is very concerned about this, as they should be, because we see Europe and other parts of the world putting travel sanctions on parts of West Africa. So today at the press conference with Governor Rick Perry, InfoWars reporter Joe Biggs asked flat out, are you going to demand, Governor Rick Perry, that Obama put travel sanctions on West Africa?
Why haven't the flights from West Africa been stopped from coming into America like Europe and France have done?
That's a question that's really not in my domain.
We did not discuss that specific question. What we did talk about was that the CDC has the largest stand-up outside of the United States in their history. I think some 130 CDC personnel that are in Africa now. Yeah, obviously, we have a very large contingent of our military there. And again, I think this goes to the heart of finding the solution to this issue, both globally and for the United States, and for our participation in that, and the United States engagement in that, and for us to assist those countries in Africa.
And be sure to stay tuned, because after this break, we'll have a special report from Joe Biggs detailing in more depth what happened at that press conference here today. Ebola case in Texas validates concerns over open border. Now, of course, we know the gentleman affected with the Ebola came on a plane, but what happens when you have a wide open border like we do here in the United States of America? As the first American case of Ebola was confirmed in Dallas yesterday, some laid blame on the Obama administration's lax immigration policies for the ease at which the illness penetrated the nation's borders. And if you go to InfoWars.com, there are several tweets by concerned citizens voicing their concern about this very hard-to-treat illness. So, yes, that is a very good point that you make, because we talked to the ICE agents, the Border Patrol agents on the border of the United States of America. They said, hey, man, we're so busy changing diapers and heating up bottles, we can't go out there and deal with these situations. And even if we do find sick people, we really don't have the facilities or the expertise to deal with it. So it is a very pressing concern. And it's not just on the borders, but yeah, what happens when somebody gets on a plane? The TSA isn't going to stop these guys. The TSA doesn't know what they're doing to begin with anyway, but what if a sick person comes along? How do they deal with that? And we have this, there's really no way to screen for Ebola at airports, which is very much true. Really, the only thing they do is they take a temperature read of your forehead, and that's about it. If you have a high temperature, they may ask you to step over here in this room and let's run a test or two or whatever their policy is. But they really don't have a way to deal with this. It's very concerning, and we need to figure out a way to deal with this before it's too late. So we'll go out to break with this, a special report from Alex Jones, breaking down everything you need to know about the Ebola situation. And then we'll have a special report from Leanne McAdoo, detailing the link between these viruses, these illnesses, and the CIA. And also David Knight will have a special report, the breakdown telling you about supervolcanoes and how a site like Yellowstone really doesn't need a seismic event or a seismic situation to actually erupt. This is the InfoWars Nightly News.
Major scripting at the CDC, at the Obama administration level, and at the United Nations level. We've been saying this for several months. It is unprecedented to bring dozens and dozens of hot, infected, patient number one, ground zero, Ebola victims into the United States. It used to show up in 3 days. It shows up in 22 days now, meaning someone can spread and spread and spread. The default was it was level four containment, illegal, and those laws are still in the books, to bring someone with smallpox or Ebola or anything of that nature into the United States. U.S. citizens were to be held in quarantine on Navy ships, special medical ships that they have, and other facilities they have in places in Sierra Leone and other areas. This is unprecedented. We have top virologists in Bild in Germany saying 5 million will get it by December. The U.N. says 1.4 million. Most top virologists say it's beginning to go slightly airborne. That means it isn't hardy airborne, but it is clearly leaning towards being somewhat airborne. If that is the case, and that's why we're seeing this huge outbreak in Africa, you've got seven nations now with it over in Africa. You have got tens of thousands of people a week flying in and out of West Africa into every major city in the world. And there should have already been a quarantine on Sierra Leone and a quarantine on Ghana and a quarantine on these other countries. That was standard procedure. It is a guarantee that you will get Ebola all over the world. Guaranteed with a 22-day carrier incubation period. We've talked to top medical doctors on this, so this is not my opinion. That's why we kept saying this is insane. There should have been an immediate embargo. Those countries, Sierra Leone and others, are literally collapsing right now, but they're letting the airport still run as middle-class and wealthy Africans and Westerners flee the nation. Then Obama injects 3,300 untrained U.S. troops into the middle of hell hot zones. We kept telling people months ago, and got attacked by the mainstream media because they didn't want people to be warmed up front. This had all the telltale signs of bare minimum allowing a crisis to get out of hand, aiding and abetting it, not letting a good crisis go to waste. But we know there's laboratories in the U.S., England, Africa, and other areas that have souped up Ebola. We've played frontline pieces, Nova pieces, admitting airborne Ebola escaped and killed monkeys in another lab in 1989. See, we're informed. And the system preys on the American people's ignorance to say, oh, don't listen to InfoWars. Don't listen to Drudge. Don't listen to WorldNet Daily. Don't listen to those crazy people that actually have top scientists and medical doctors and virologists on. Oh, look, InfoWars is reporting on CDC medical journals 2 years ago saying Ebola had gone airborne. We got attacked. A month later, New York Times admitted they believe it's going airborne with a top virologist. The issue here is that I'm in Austin, Texas, literally 3 hours from Dallas. Joe Biggs is up there outside the hospital area where Rick Perry's set to give a press conference in T-minus 45 minutes or so, about 47 minutes from now. This is very serious because you have a huge Nigerian population, huge West African population in Dallas. And again, it's so politically correct that you've got the emergency managers in Dallas County openly saying, well, we're still going to tell the kids to stay home with this guy, but everything's okay. That entire entire family, ladies and gentlemen, should be locked up in a quarantine facility watching television and having a nice day so an epidemic doesn't get out of hand. You get one person giving it to five, they give it to 10, they give it to 20, they give it to 40, they give it to 80, they give it to 100, and you see the numbers going up. Once you get about 10 or 15 people that have this, it's going to be unstoppable. And you're going to have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, maybe billions of people with Ebola. And on record, I want it on record that we pointed this out. It's not hard to point this out. This is default. This is default. That the minute there was a major outbreak, you shut down the aircraft coming in, or you make people sign a form that they will go on aircraft, that everybody is then quarantined for at least a month once they get off of it. Instead, we knew the fix was in, so they would have plausible deniability a month ago when they started flying all these medical workers in with Ebola and putting them in regular hospitals that aren't even level 2, level 3 containment. Ladies and gentlemen, that violates federal law. This is a disaster. They want to use this to roll out more Homeland Security. Do I think this is the end of the world? No. I predicted they're going to have phases. Listeners, you've heard this hundreds of times. Phases of bio releases, souped up bioweapon releases, to train us to go under medical tyranny, to train us to go under forced inoculation. So when they really release the deadly airborne Ebola or mousepox down the road to wipe out 90% of the population, a la 12 monkeys, the people will do what they're told, believing that they were protected by the government in the first few big outbreaks. This is directly out of the globalist script, ladies and gentlemen, directly out of V for Vendetta. This is how you conquer America and conquer the world. This is how you get the guns. This is how you bring in the tyranny, is you bring in terrorists. Notice how Texas is under attack. Everyone's fleeing the rest of the country to come to Texas because we have lower taxes and are libertarian conservative. The border is wide open, and they've targeted bringing in the buses. Texas. They've targeted Texas with all their different programs. Now Texas is where the Ebola is popping up. You can just see all of this going on, ladies and gentlemen, and now Paul Watson comes to visit the U.S. the first time he's visited me here in 9 years or 8 years, and now you're here in Texas, Paul Watson, 200 miles from Ebola, which they're very calmly saying, oh, yeah, some more of the family probably has it. It's no big deal. It's like getting a cold or something. No, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say this very slowly. The so-called U.S. government, the same ones that funded Al-Qaeda and ISIS, have now allowed dozens and dozens of people in with Ebola and did no screening at the airports for people coming in out of West Africa with scientists saying 1.4 million with computer models are set to get it on the low end, 5 million now on the high end. That's by December. We're not talking about when they usually panic when 20 people have Ebola. I mean, the previous top outbreaks were a couple hundred. We're talking about countries collapsing right now as people are hanging basically off the aircraft to fly here, and our government's going, come on in. So the bottom line is the government, whatever's behind this, cannot and will not protect you. You've got to protect yourselves. And it is so disgusting, like a slow-motion automobile accident, to be seeing this unfold right now. Folks better be hitting their knees and praying to God, because if this Ebola gets out, and if it spreads with our compromised immune systems here in the United States and all the vaccines that people have been taking, and if it starts mutating with other things that are going on right now and all the other mystery illnesses sweeping the country of kids that have been vaccinated, you can see with Dr. Pianca, a top eugenicist, saying 8 years ago that soon the airborne Ebola is coming and will kill 90%, and 95% standing ovation at the Texas Academy of Sciences with people crying with joy, as he projected a huge screen of red skulls on the wall. This is mainstream news, folks. Look it up. The FBI went and talked to him about it, and they began crying in their death cult of victory. This is a death cult. They're listening in Austin right now at University of Texas. They are the most sick people you could ever imagine, and I've been warning you. My film Endgame warns you that they are all over Ebola. The globalists have been messing with it, screwing around with it constantly. This is one of their main arsenal weapons. So is mousepox. Kills 90%+ of people. And again, I don't think this is the big one. I don't think this is the big one. But it could be. I believe it's just a primer.
In the past decade, we have witnessed unparalleled scientific discoveries in the area of health. but no one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. DNA Force is one of the most expensive formulas to produce. Some of the ingredients in DNA Force are $12,000 a kilogram. We are using the coveted, patented, only American source of PQQ, CoQ10, and more. You want the best that's out there at the lowest price anywhere? Well, we're bringing you a total win-win. The ultimate value, cutting-edge, trailblazing game changer that also supports the InfoWar. We have produced a limited run of DNA Force, and it will take up to 12 weeks to produce more once we sell out. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. DNA Force from InfoWars Life.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. Celebrate the spirit of 1776 with the George Washington brass belt buckle or this incredibly sharp looking 1776 hat. Badass. And be sure to check out the new arrivals at InfoWars Life, where you can prepare your body to perform at peak levels with Survival Shield, Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, and Fluoride Shield. And wake up, America. Immune Support Blend is the healthy choice for the gourmet coffee lover. So get incredibly high-quality, freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
I'm Joe Biggs with InfoWars.com. Here at the Presbyterian Hospital in Dallas, Texas, we just got out of the press conference about the Ebola situation happening here. Governor Perry spoke, a superintendent, a judge, and a couple other local people that worked at the hospital as well. Governor Perry didn't have a whole lot to say. He dodged questions. He was your typical politician when it came down to things.
There is no place in the world, I would suggest to you, that has better professionals, better ability to address this than in Texas. We wish it were somewhere else.
I was able to shout out a question though and ask, why aren't flights from West Africa into the USA being stopped like other countries have done in Europe, France?
Repeat the question, please.
Governor, why haven't the flights from West Africa been stopped from coming into America like Europe and France have done?
That's a question that's really not in my domain.
One of the other interesting things as well, though, the superintendent for Dallas got out and spoke, and he said that there had been 5 students who had been in contact with the affected patient.
We were informed this morning by the Dallas County Health and Human Services that these 5 students could possibly have been in contact with the patient at the home over the weekend.
We're told that the patient developed symptoms on the 24th, which means that those children could potentially have had contact with them and been at those schools. Is that right?
They had contact with, they possibly had contact with the patient over the weekend. And they have been in school since then.
Now, these 5 students are able to move freely because right now they aren't exhibiting any kind of symptoms of the Ebola virus. Now, it's not to say that in the next day or so they won't, but who knows where that child or children will be when those side effects start to kick in. Are they going to be at a mall? Are they going to be at Chuck E. Cheese? Are they going to be at an airport where all of a sudden they start coughing or throwing up and that gets on other people and we have more people affected? The people here are not taking this crisis serious. One of the guys got up, the judge, and said that there is zero chance that anyone that they've already seen or talked to could spread this right now.
We're not afraid that if we go talk to the next door neighbor of this person, that we're going to get Ebola because we understand what science is. We understand we have a zero chance of getting that from that next door neighbor. And there's absolutely zero chance that you can be infected by Ebola by simply going into a building where a person is under isolation.
There's zero chance that you can get this unless someone just spits on you, because we all know viruses never mutate. Things like that never happen. Mother Nature doesn't find a way to move on and do something else and break outside the box, because that never happens. These guys want you to believe that there's nothing that can possibly happen. And I can understand one of the reasons why they don't want people to go into a panic, fear, and run around crazy. But at the same time, people need to know the real risk involved. You know, I would rather stay at home for the next week or so than go out in public and possibly get something that could kill me. If I have to stay or do something like that, I'll take that risk. But I don't want to send my children to school when there's five students who are allowed to go run freely that have been in contact. And they're saying right now that there's a possibility that there's 18 people so far that they know of that have been in contact with patient zero that are being monitored.
So in regards to anybody else that might have come in contact with this person, between 12 and 18 patients.
These five are the children of the patient?
Contacts.
First responders, they're allowed to be here. The guys who initially went and picked up the patient, they're allowed to be here right now because they aren't exhibiting any side effects, any kind of symptoms of the Ebola virus. But who's to say in the next 20 minutes or another day or so in one of their 24-hour shifts that they have that they don't start coughing up on another patient?
We don't need people. We need people to remain calm and do what Dallas County people are good at. We are good. Mayor Rawlings, Zach, President Obama's team and the CDC's team, and Dr. Fried, we're good at keeping you safe, and you're good at staying calm.
This is ridiculous. They're saying they're taking every step, every measure, and they're being as smart as possible about it, but they're not really doing it. They're being very unprofessional, and they're not handling this the way they should. CDC is saying they're warning funeral homes to be ready for a large number of bodies. We know in Georgia there's this huge thing of plastic coffins that have been stored there for quite some time. This is all crazy. Our borders are wide open. We're allowing this to happen. The TSA attacks American citizens and lets illegals roam freely through without identification. There's no way to screen for this stuff. This is crazy. Keep your eyes open and stay tuned for more reports. I'm Joe Biggs with Infowars.com here in Ebola, USA.
I want to say this, just a couple of things, though, that I think is important. Because you are all intelligent, okay? All right? The science says that if you are not exhibiting symptoms of this, there is zero chance that you can transmit this. Not minuscule, zero chance. I asked that question earlier. If you want to do what's good by your viewers, you will tell them it's zero chance.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Darren McBreen, and here are some of today's top headlines breaking right now at Infowars.com.
Five students within the family circle of the Dallas Ebola patient will not be quarantined. This despite the fact they may be in the incubation cycle of the deadly disease. While CDC and local health officials are in close interaction with the families, they will be allowed to leave their homes until they exhibit symptoms. More evidence surfaces that suggests the ISIS beheadings were staged, as documents reveal that James Foley and Stephen Sotloff had close intelligence connections. Secret Service Director Julia Pearson has resigned over security breaches. Her resignation follows a series of security lapses involving the protection of Barack Obama.
For more updates and breaking news, go to Infowars.com.
The first patient diagnosed with Ebola has been confirmed here in the U.S. There is another enterovirus that has been spreading across the country. It's already claimed the life of one child today in Rhode Island. And now there is another mosquito-borne virus that's making its way up from Latin America, and it could be a problem for the U.S. here shortly. This is a chikungunya virus, and it is an excruciating mosquito-borne illness. It arrived less than a year ago in the Americas, and it's already infected more than a million people so far. Sufferers complain of days of pain and misery, including joint pain so severe that it can be hard to walk. The carrier of the disease is the genetically modified Aedes aegypti mosquito. Now, this mosquito was tweaked to help control populations of mosquitoes that carry dengue fever. But now this mosquito has a viral disease of its own. In 2010, we reported that the UN announced plans to combat dengue fever and other mosquito-borne illnesses with genetically modified mosquitoes. Now, these mosquitoes were designed to make them sterile or to simply just kill off the mosquitoes that carry dengue fever. Lo and behold, this project was funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And as mosquitoes are seen mostly as a nuisance, there was very little debate about meddling with nature by introducing billions of new organisms into the system. Kind of like there has been very little debate about bringing patients with Ebola into America or refusing to block the flights from the Ebola zone or even enforcing a mandatory quarantine for those people who fly in to other countries from the Ebola zone. Seems a little crazy unless that's your plan is to bring Ebola into the country. Now, the reason why I bring up this particular chikungunya virus is that the Aedes aegypti mosquito has been relevant before, particularly when it comes to Project Artichoke. Of course, that is a secret CIA mind control program. And in this particular instance with the mosquito, they were seeking to find ways to spread a virus that could be an incapacitant, not necessarily something that would be deadly for a population, but something that would, of course, destabilize a region. Now, dengue fever has a hidden history. It has been the intense focus of U.S. Army and CIA biological warfare researchers for over 50 years, similar to the Ebola virus. Now, as we've mentioned, we have biowarfare centers in the Ebola zone doing human tests there in Sierra Leone, coincidentally at the exact same time of this current Ebola outbreak. Now, here is a great article titled, Dengue Fever Outbreak Leads Back to CIA and Army Experiments. Several CIA documents, as well as the findings of a 1975 congressional committee, reveal that several sites in Florida were used for experiments with mosquito-borne dengue fever. Now, one site was Avon Park, which consisted of newly constructed public housing projects for low-income African-American families. And it was here that specially equipped aircraft dropped 600,000 mosquitoes in purpose-built paper bags from above. And besides dengue fever, some of these mosquitoes were also carrying yellow fever. Now, just shortly thereafter, in the spring and summer of 1981, Cuba experienced a severe hemorrhagic dengue fever outbreak. They reported 10,000 people a day coming down with this disease. More than 100,000 people were hospitalized. And this is in addition to a severe swine flu outbreak that Fidel Castro attributed to the CIA. Now, Alvarelli reports that former Fort Detrick researchers told him that they performed advance work on the Cuba outbreak and that it was indeed man-made. The CIA was also accused of launching dengue epidemics in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Nicaragua in the 80s as well. Now, release of these bioweapons, while not necessarily deadly, it could serve to incapacitate and destabilize those regions whose political ideology does not agree with ours. The U.S. government has subjected people to all sorts of experimentation in the past to further their agenda. There is highly documented historical evidence of malfeasance, so it is justified to question their motives, especially considering the absolute power they have to enforce mandatory vaccines. So just consider the track record of the U.S. government. They're morally capable. They are technically capable of doing this. They have no ethical concerns when it comes to using bioweapons on their political enemies as well as American citizens. It's becoming clearer by the day that the government sees its citizens as enemy number one. So is it a stretch to say that they could create a deliberate Ebola pandemic that would not only enrich transnational pharmaceutical corporations, but it would also further their police state agenda?
This is Alex Jones for InfoWarsLife.com. The latest in preparedness is now here, an electrically stabilized colloidal silver solution that can be added to both your home cabinet and preparedness pack alike. Concentrated to 30 parts per million in what has been dubbed the survival silver solution, the new InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver is the answer for you and your family. And it's entirely free of toxic artificial additives that are loaded into many products. The InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Silver is so powerful that it is concentrated into a 2-ounce bottle and is not recommended for extended continual use. This is not a low-grade formula. We are working with one of the top laboratory manufacturers in the United States to bring you the best form of colloidal silver using electrical processes within a base of deionized water for your preparedness storage or your home kitchen. Purchase your bottle of InfoWarsLife.com Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver today and find other amazing supplements at InfoWarsLife.com.
Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder. Backed by FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. All the toxins from the air, the food, the water, ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. Take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with OxyPowder. Secure your OxyPowder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
On Saturday, September 27, 2014, at noon local time in Japan, Mount Ontake suddenly exploded without warning. Many hikers and tourists were on the mountain at the time. One person tweeted a picture of the top of the volcano moments before it erupted. Over 30 people are now feared dead. Japan is a very active area for earthquakes and volcanoes. It's closely monitored, continuously monitored, yet it underscores that scientists still don't understand volcanoes well enough to predict them accurately. Mount Ontake shows that we won't always get months of warning like we did with Mount St. Helens before a volcano explodes. And if recent research papers are correct, supervolcanoes like Yellowstone could explode suddenly, without warning, without seismic movement signaled as earthquakes. When we think of an explosive volcanic eruption, we imagine it being preceded by earthquakes, by ground swelling, by the mountain venting some hot gas, perhaps even some lava. These are the signs we look for in the inexact science of volcanic predictions. But two research papers, published on the very same day this year, say that predicting supervolcano eruptions is even more difficult than predicting the eruptions of regular volcanoes. More on that in a moment. But first, do the events in Yellowstone earlier this year demonstrate changes that may be building toward an eruption?
We did have an earthquake of 4.8 magnitude. Now, that is the largest we've had in Yellowstone in over 30 years.
And a couple of months later, shuts down a road that's melted because of increased ground temperature. People start to get edgy about an impending eruption. I went to Yellowstone recently, and geothermal activity is everywhere. A reminder that you're on top of a super caldera and magma dome, the largest on Earth.
Frankly, we are just a few miles above some really hot magma. That magma serves as the heat that fuels the geysers and hot springs and fumaroles in the park. It's that engine that allows for the unique things that we see here in Yellowstone.
This is what the melted road looks like 2 months later. Yellowstone spokesman at the time said the road had turned to soup, and that was widely reported, even in the mainstream media. But when I spoke to a ranger there, she dismissed it as simply a bad asphalt job.
that was closed due to melting, the heat?
No, it has nothing to do with that. That was just a couple of days. It was the asphalt was soft. Mm-hmm. It was actually a bad asphalt job that they had done the summer previous to that.
Okay.
And that combined with the intensity of the sun in the middle of the summer, and that it was in a hydrothermal area, that it just got soft.
Oh, okay.
And they just had to replace it.
So it had nothing to do with an increase in geothermal activity in that area,
no.
The ground being hotter. It was just the asphalt wasn't
gone. The asphalt, yeah, it was the combination of those things in that particular spot.
I hadn't visited Firehole Lake Drive when I spoke to her, or I would have challenged what she told me. 2 months later, the road still doesn't look good. But more importantly, Yellowstone spokesman told the press at the time that people needed to stay away from the road because there was a high danger of stepping on seemingly solid soil into severely hot water. Contrary to what she said, Firehole Lake is an active geothermal area, and you can see that the road deteriorates as it comes into proximity to geothermal features. But it's what we've come to expect from government employees at every level, fear for their job if controversy erupts, and contempt for the public's right to know. If it was just a bad asphalt job, heated up by the sun, rather than increased ground temperature, then why are there other melted paved areas that they've just fenced off rather than try to fix? My suspicion is that the spots are so hot at the moment that they can't fix them. Ground temperature goes up and down with seismic activity in the park.
We see between 1,000 and 3,000 earthquakes a year in Yellowstone. Most of them are so small, nobody ever feels them.
Swarms of small earthquakes that you can't even feel can cause the ground to go through major changes. Look at this area that was once a forest. The ground was a hospitable environment for trees to grow for a long period of time. Then in 1978, swarms of small earthquakes caused the ground in this area to rise to 200 degrees Fahrenheit. It wasn't the quakes, but the heat that killed the trees. So while we may be heading into another period of increased activity in Yellowstone, it's far from the largest activity we've seen since it became a park. Of course, everyone will tell you that it's not if, but when the super caldera blows up. The difficulty, of course, is knowing when that's going to happen. Two research papers that were released on the same day this year, January the 5th, 2014, say that supervolcanoes aren't just bigger volcanoes, they have a completely different mechanism. The firing mechanism is a function of the buoyancy of the gigantic magma dome and the size of the dome. It makes it much more unpredictable than a regular volcano. And about the same time these research papers were saying that the eruption of a supervolcano was a function of magma dome size, we learned that Yellowstone's magma dome is 2.5 times larger than they previously thought. 55 miles long, 18 miles wide, 3 to 9 miles deep. For the sake of comparison, let's pretend for a moment that global warming predictions used to justify global taxation of man-made global warming are true. The IPCC's worst-case scenarios range from a 1 to 3 degree centigrade increase to a 2 to 6 degree centigrade increase, and that's over a 100-year period. But if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted, scientists say it could drop temperatures 10 degrees centigrade, that's about 18 degrees Fahrenheit, globally, and 12 degrees, or 22 degrees Fahrenheit, in the northern hemisphere for 6 to 10 years. In other words, that's 2 to 10 times the change in temperature of the most alarmist scenario that Al Gore can imagine. And it would happen immediately, not stretched out over 100 years, and it would last for a decade. That would be real climate change. And of course, that would just be the temperature effect of a supervolcano eruption. There's also the devastation of the ash covering the ground and the massive explosion, estimated to be 1,000 times the size of the Hiroshima nuclear bomb, every second.
The science of volcanic predictions is very new,
mm-hmm.
And unreliable at best. I think most of the ones that they think they'd be able to predict, they're thinking like maybe hours to days that they'd be able to give people. This one, we think we know what we'd be looking for, and most of those are for little Mount St. Helens style eruptions,
mm-hmm.
which is little compared to this. Yeah.
Yes, the deadliest, most destructive volcanic eruption in U.S. history, where 57 people died, is a very tiny eruption compared to what could happen even with a partial eruption at Yellowstone. Mount St. Helens began in March 15, 1980, with a lot of earthquakes, over 100 in 6 days. Then a 4.2 magnitude earthquake, a little smaller than the 4.8 Yellowstone quake in April. 5 days later, 7 earthquakes, all over magnitude 4.0 in just 1 day. The next day, the first eruption with a plume of 7,000 feet. The volcano continued to erupt over several weeks, and the plume rose to 20,000 feet. By April 17th, about a month after the volcano became active, a bulge began growing on the side of the mountain and began to grow at 5 to 8 feet per day. U.S. Geological Service volcanologist David A. Johnston, shown here exploring the bulge the day before it exploded, believed the volcano was about to explode catastrophically, unlike some of his colleagues. Nevertheless, he and other scientists were surprised by the extent of the explosion. When the mountain exploded the next day, the pyroclastic flow of rock and hot gas at nearly 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit would have begun at 220 miles per hour and accelerated downhill to 670 miles per hour, reaching Johnston's camp 6 miles away in less than a minute. He only had time to radio,
"Vancouver, Vancouver, this is it."
An amateur radio operator, Gary Martin, located a little farther away than David Johnston, saw the pyroclastic flow overtake Johnston's camp. He radioed,
"Gentlemen, the camper and the car sitting over to the south of me is covered. It's going to get me too. I can't get out of here."
Then his radio went silent.
It completely destroyed an area of 230 square miles in the matter of somewhere between 5 and 9 minutes. It essentially killed every living thing within an area of 230 square miles.
Bear in mind, Mount St. Helens was 1/1,000th the size of the Yellowstone caldera, and after months of warning, 57 people still died. Mount Pinatubo, about a decade later, after months of warning, still nearly 900 people died there. And that was still 1% of the size of Yellowstone. So even if the entire caldera does not erupt at once, a small partial eruption of Yellowstone could still be the largest natural disaster the United States has ever seen. There's much we don't know yet about volcanoes, and we know even less about the mechanisms of supervolcanoes. Yellowstone is a beautiful and fascinating place. It's truly unique. It's a reminder that we still know very little about the massive forces that continue to shape our planet. And it reminds us how presumptuous our climate predictions truly are. For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Knight.
Well, that's it for this edition of the InfoWars Nightly News. But stop by PrisonPlanet.tv. And to get yourself a 15-day free trial, you can get the Alex Jones Show, the Nightly News, the Special Reports, the Rants, and so much more at PrisonPlanet.tv. And also go to the Alex Jones channel on YouTube. You can see all of our great reports there as well. Well, I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News, and we'll see you again tomorrow night.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there, and I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off Super Detox Special at InfoWarsLife.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.